Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Well, howdy there, pretty ladies. Is seat taken?
If I hear one more Southern Fried accent, I may just start screaming.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 29, Truth and Consequences. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Shall you get crazy? Crazy Laura?
Kind of. I guess we'll see.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot. Dave, do you have site business?
I think we're good.
All right, let's proceed. Starting with our D story. Blah, blah, pregnant, blah. Tells you how I feel about it. Probably you also. Andrea is happy that the girls are all having their sorority meeting at her place. The next day, we will get to that, since she is on bed rest, as we learned in the last episode. Jesse comes home, scolds her about being out of bed to talk on the phone. She angrily gesticulates back at him about limiting her freedom in a gif you can see in the visual aids, because has to be with an apple in her hand, because even if it's healthy food, she must always be eating. She waddles back to the bedroom, sorry, but she does, and complains about being on bed rest because she's an idiot. I prescribe myself bed rest every weekend. Jesse says this is only for a couple of months, so she wasn't ready to pop weeks ago. Whatever. He loves her. No one cares. There's a picture of her at the end of the scene.
Oh, dude.
In the visual aid.
Dude.
She looks...
Okay, you first.
Okay, well, she's in a white, like, long pajama top and matching pants, which, first of all, white. And they shot her, like, from the floor, this horrible upward angle. And she looks like the nose of a plane. Like, she is so big. It's crazy how big she is.
I was going to say that she looks like, you know, in Beetlejuice when he's in the waiting room and he sprinkles the voodoo dust and their heads are really teeny, but their suits are the same size.
Yeah.
Bree Carteris. Why?
It's so mean. I can't wait for her sake. I can't wait for this pregnancy to be over, because I'm so sick of feeling bad for her. Like, the abuse that she took during this time is not okay.
It's really not. I just keep flashing back to that screen grab I managed to get of her stuffing an entire lo mein into her eye hole. Like, I've been there, but not at work, not on camera.
No.
Poor kid.
All right, moving on to our C story, Dylan and Cons versus Kelly. So for a school project, Erica is interviewing Suzanne about her job. Suzanne, distracted, whines that it would be more interesting for Erica to talk to Kevin about his job, but Erica is still not really about him until Dylan says that he would like to go and see Kevin's lab too. And Erica, of course, will do whatever Dylan wants, so it's settled. Later, Suzanne and co show up at Dylan's unannounced with pastries to tell Dylan that Kevin and Suzanne are engaged. Kelly, kind of rudely, calls it a whirlwind courtship, but Suzanne cheerfully agrees that it's impetuous. And when they all go into the kitchen to lay out whatever they brought over, Dylan can't help snitting at Kelly for being negative, which is kind of fair and kind of not. The next day, Kevin keeps boring Erica and Dylan at his lab, blah, science, blah. He's figured out a way to decontaminate water with microorganisms, though he's talking about drinking it and bathing in it, and Dylan is talking about the bay, so I'm not sure which kind of water they're talking about, whether it's fresh or salt. Why do I care? What matters is that Dylan cares very much, particularly because the project is not cost-effective. Kevin's company is not supporting his research. Let's wrap this up. Kevin shows up late to meet the family for dinner at the Peach Pit. Literally, where else? Erica wants to show him her report, and Kevin is glad that she got to see the lab because he quit. Clip number two.
Why should I waste the best years of my life working for guys that aren't serious about bioremediation?
Because they pay you every week?
They're not the only lab in town.
And from what I saw today, what this guy's doing could revolutionize the world. Anybody'd be crazy not to want to be in business with you.
I should hire you to be my publicist.
Or maybe Dylan should hire you to work here.
A little faith in your man, Suzanne. He's going places.
I have faith in you, Kevin.
And that's
Well then. All of you shut up. I asked for that clip because he's like, well, you know, life's too short to work with guys who aren't serious about bioremediation. It's like, if I had a nickel, I'd have a nickel. Shut up, Kevin.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, God.
The con continues.
Yes. Erica saying that she believes in Kevin is all it takes. And suddenly Suzanne is on board too. Well, that was easy. Moving on. To our B story, Brandon finally dimes out Claire. So Brandon comes to the chancellor's office to hear about the most improbable task force development yet. And I know that's saying something, but trust me, clip number three.
Remember that statement you wrote about the status of public education?
No.
No.
It's going to be part of the keynote speech when the National Task Force convenes in Washington.
No.
You're kidding.
No.
Yes.
And I've requested that you come up to Berkeley next week to be part of the final strategy session.
What strategy? It's a keynote.
I don't know.
You write it or you don't fucking write it. That's it.
I don't know.
Also, who fucking cares? Also, shut up, task force. I fucking hate this plot line.
I know. Brandon is writing any of this? I mean, I said this last time too. There are one of the other times this has come up. There are actual academics on this committee. Why is Brandon doing all this work? He doesn't know anything about anything.
And he's a freshman. And if you need excuses to like get him out of town or introduce new characters, like put him on a sports team.
Yes.
Like, has there been a single episode this season where he hasn't been like going out the front door of Casa Walsh? Excuse me, Casa Walsh, with some kind of sporting equipment under his arm.
Softball, basketball, whatever.
Frisbee, rollerblading, who cares? Hacky, figure skating, tiddlywinks.
Speedwalking.
This task force is redunk, and so I can't.
As if to any of this, the chancellor jokes that Brandon shouldn't get too berserkly in Berkeley, and when Brandon doesn't take his meaning, the chancellor jovially describes him as the guy who kept Claire out to the wee hours on prom night. Brandon says he was hoping they could talk about that, but the chancellor doesn't give a fuck in clip number four.
You're a big improvement over most of the lugs she's gone out with.
Lugs.
I don't know what it is.
Malarkey.
All of them seem to wind up in hot water.
That may not be entirely their fault, sir.
Kids, I've had to raise Claire on my own ever since her mother died. I think I've done a pretty good job. I do say so myself.
Think again.
Yes, you have. Definitely.
Cut.
Yes, you have. You're a good father.
The hell? Who's a good chancy wancy? What the fuck is that tone? Get another take.
Worst. Brandon opens the door at Casa Walsh with to find Claire with two tickets to Berkeley, announcing that she's going with him. She also brags that she got accepted at every school she applied to, which I love. Brag on, Claire. The chancellor does not know about her travel plans, however, and after Brandon has ushered her out, Jim opines that Claire seems harmless, but Brandon acts like he's scared because she won't hear no, and I kind of get it, but then, clip number five.
I'm trying to do right by the chancellor and keep her at arm's length, but she just won't let up.
Well, chancellor doesn't seem to mind you going out with her.
That's because he has no idea what she's into. I've tried to tell him, he just doesn't want to hear it.
Well, be gentle with him, son. Just remember, every father's daughter is a virgin.
I also just stepping away from that for a moment.
Uh-huh.
You two do some barfing while I am expressing that I feel that people in this town need to get and maintain peepholes and the little window at the top of the door, and before opening it, look through it.
Yeah.
All of this could be avoided.
Yep.
You especially need to do that because nobody fucking calls before coming over. Okay, now it's my turn to barf. You talk.
Yeah, the Chancellors really love being virgins with Claire, but apparently that's gotta end.
Oh, now it's even worse, Tara.
Sorry, not sorry, Brandon. Brandon apparently has decided to ignore Jim's advice because when we next see the Chancellor, he's in the middle of being shocked by Brandon's report on Claire in clip number 6.
Claire is first in her class. She spends most of her evenings reading Ezra Pound in our study. I can't picture her provoking fistfights with strange men in hotel rooms.
I was there, sir, and I can barely picture it.
Did someone give her something to drink at this party?
No, she was just off and running. And then yesterday when she showed up at my house with 2 tickets for us to go to Berkeley, Well, she seems to have selected me to help her with her problems.
Her problems?
Well, she was crying a lot on prom night.
Yes, I've got to take this call, Brandon. I'll talk to Claire. I'm sorry if she's been a nuisance.
Uh-oh.
Can we also talk about the fact that he picks up the phone and immediately is like, I've got to take this call? Like,
yeah, right.
The secretary on the other end had time to say, Bob. Like, fire! I've got to take this call.
Yeah. So Brandon is cock walking out of there when Claire, lying in wait, pounces on him. Brandon smugly tells her that he just narked on her and apologizes, but she thinks it's hilarious that he just shot himself in the foot, so let's see how that plays out in the next episode. Moving on to our A plot, 'tis pity Brenda's a whore. So just kidding,
it really isn't, actually. It's great.
Over breakfast, Kelly at the Peach Pit with Donna, Kelly basically states that there's no way Brenda is getting the lead in the play due to how shit her audition was, which is why it's very strange when Brenda comes bouncing in and announces to Brandon and Dylan that she got the part. After she's taken off to tell the girls, Dylan quietly asks Brandon if he didn't tell her that she blew it, so already the rumbles are starting. And at Kelly and Donna's table, the good news spreads in clip number 7.
And you thought you'd blown your final audition.
Kelly, I did blow it. But afterwards, I went over to Roy Randall's house and he gave me a second chance.
Suspicious. So Brenda is so excited that she goes to hug Nat and presumably brag to strangers. And as soon as she's gone, Donna's like, and you thought she wouldn't get cast. And Kelly's like, eyebrow. Zero eyebrow in the visual aids.
Yes, it's good.
I made a gift. On campus, Steve rages to Laura while Laura tries to make her peace with being Brenda's understudy. Steve wants answers as to how this happened, but Laura is resigned / gossipy in clip number 8.
What makes you think you'll get a straight answer from Randolph?
What do you mean?
Randolph's famous for sleeping with his leading ladies, isn't he?
Well, that might be his style, but it's really not Brenda's.
Well, you know her better than I do.
What does he? Suspicious minds. I kind of wish they hadn't copped out and had made it that Brenda had slept with him, because honestly, like, he's leaving in 3 weeks. Who cares? Like, she might as well, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it didn't work.
Right.
I don't know.
Anyway, then it's time for the first rehearsal. Speaking of barfing.
Oh, Jesus.
Clip number 9.
I have just 3.5 weeks to teach you all the art of dreaming on schedule.
What?
I mean...
Sometimes when these clips come up, I look over at Dave just to see what his reaction is going to be, and that one did not disappoint. Also, if he's English...
I actually like read that like clip. Like, I wrote it down and read it to Dan, and was like, on a scale of 1 to Kathy, this director he's worked with before who he super hated, who was totally a dreaming on schedule type, like had a wish board and everything. Mm. I was like, on a scale of 1 to Kathy, how realistic is this line? And he did not miss a beat. He's like, 7. Like, oh, Jesus.
Awesome.
I mean, I love Roy Randolph. I love his, like, ladies peasant blouses and stripy Harlequin vest. I don't, he's ridiculous. I love him.
However, if he's English, shouldn't he have said dreaming on schedule?
Is he actually English, though?
Well, the character is, I assume. Or no, are you saying, is he faking being English? Maybe.
How awesome would it be if the character, I wish that had come up later, like season 8, and it's like, P.S.
He was from Akron.
Randall's from Edison, New Jersey.
No, actually, what happens is they're taking a road trip, and there's like the semi comes right by them, and they're looking up at the driver, and the driver's that guy. And he just sort of waves at them and goes, and just like takes off. Hey, bye, Pop.
God. Anyway, 3.5 weeks seems like not really enough time to do anything. And also, if that's how long their schedule is, why did the auditions take multiple days? Like, have auditions, have callbacks, move on, whatever. Barf. Anyway.
Oh, speaking of barf.
I know, God. He wins me back a little, and Sarah possibly a lot, by announcing Randolph's first rule, which is never be late. He then introduces the cast, and the guy who's playing Brick is so fratty, he does this like point on his name. It's like, that's not really the character, but whatever. I made a gift in the visual aids. Whoa. And then, even barfier than Dreaming on Schedule, if you can fucking believe it. Is clip number 10.
And the part of Maggie the cat will be played by Brenda Walsh.
Can we refer to her by her proper name, Margaret? At least until I get to know her better.
No, fuck off. You just left this part. We hate you.
I just... And then he's like, that's an excellent point. Like, yes. No, it isn't. No. It's freshman bullshit.
Yeah. Everyone dogpile on Brenda, punch her to death. That does not happen. However, we do cut to Laura, who gets an absolutely gorgeous, I can't believe this bitch reaction that I want embroidered on a pillow.
She really does.
But since I can't, I just made a GIF. It's in the
middle. Oh my God. Middendorf.
2016. Roy, as Sarah said, affirms Brenda's assiness by calling this a good instinct because he's also an ass. And when he introduces the understudies, Brenda gives Laura a very butter wouldn't melt look that is unbecoming given the circumstances of how she got the part. Whatever. You can see that look in the visual aids as well. Later at the beach, Steve rolls up to talk to Kelly because he is still stewing about Laura's having lost the part to Brenda, and they have this exchange in clip 11.
Kelly, tell me the truth. I mean, maybe I'm not saying things because I'm too close, but you're at the final audition. How could Laura not get cast in the part?
Steve, calm down. Brenda told me what happened.
Well, what happened? What'd she do? Put a spell on
him? No, it's very simple. Last night, she went over to Randolph's and he gave her a second chance. Yeah, I saw Brenda this morning. She was really excited.
I'll bet. All of a sudden, it's starting to make sense to me. Laura gives a performance of a lifetime and Brenda goes down in flames.
Brenda goes, down in flames. That's not where I thought that sentence was going, Steve.
No, me neither. But that was going in a westerly direction.
Anyway, Steve, you were saying clip number 12.
Then Brenda shows up on Randolph's doorstep and all of a sudden she gets the part.
Steve, are you suggesting that Brenda slept with him?
You said it, not me.
That's ridiculous. Kelly, tell him he's being ridiculous. Steve, you're being ridiculous. Kelly, I'm not saying I think it's true, but Randolph did kind of come on to me. I mean, it was nothing specific, but... He made it clear that if I was into it, he was available.
And you remember how crazed Brenda got when Kelly was auditioning for the part? I'm telling you, Brenda would have done anything for that part.
Ugh, what is wrong with you guys? Brenda is our friend. You know she would never do anything like that.
Do they?
Never is a long time. Also, hearing David's voice for 1 second made me grateful for this storyline because he's been so sidelined for the past several episodes and I have not missed him.
Yeah, word. Me neither.
But yeah, it's hard not to be suspicious. It is a sketchy story. Brenda should have thought this through and been less
and
mad
they
about
it. Didn't even see what she was wearing.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. It's like the Robert Palmer girls would be like, no, that's too much. Like, it's really, you can see it in the visual aids for the last episode. It's a lot, rather a little. Mm-hmm. Anyway, at his house, Dylan is emphatically refuting Steve's suspicions with Kelly has just finished repeating to him. And then Steve is going to Laura's room, still all pissed, to ask her how rehearsal was. She says it's humiliating having to sit and listen while the cast reads the play. And Steve assures her that they'll have to rehearse her at some point. But Laura knows better in clip 13.
Roy Randolph will never have time for me. Not the way Brenda monopolizes him. Every scene, every line, she has a million questions. It's like she's the only one in the cast. I could just strangle her.
Wait till you hear this.
What?
Guess who dropped by Roy Randolph's house late last night?
Why aren't I surprised?
I still can't believe Brenda would do something that sleazy.
I should have done it too. It's not as if I didn't have the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, but you're not that kind of person. Besides, how would you live with yourself?
Couldn't feel any worse than I do now.
We get it. Crazy saxophone of noir craziness.
Yeah. I also love how her reaction is like, oh, yeah, good move, Brenda. Like,
it seems like, but you're not that kind of person. She's like, sure I am. What are you talking about?
Well, you've known me for all of 3 days. I guess you would know. Shut up, Steve. Then Cindy is picking
up. He fucked her, so.
Right. Yeah.
He knows her.
I guess that's true. Cindy is then picking up the phone at Castle Walsh and taking a message for Brenda, which is that rehearsal has been changed from 1 p.m. to 4, except, oh no, we see it's Laura leaving the message. Sabotage! Yes! The next day, Steve is still stewing about the injustice that Laura has suffered, and under needling from Brandon, he repeats his suspicions about Brenda in clip 14.
If I said casting couch, would you know what I was talking about?
Yeah, and if you mean what I think you mean, I only have one thing to say.
What's that?
Stop the rumor.
All right. Okay. But look me right in the eye right now and tell me Brenda's not capable of doing something like that.
Stare.
Worst.
That's my case.
Sibling ever.
Oh my God.
What a shitburger. Even if you think it, he's always selling her out like that. I don't know why I'm surprised.
I have in my notes, same thing. In all caps, Brandon is the worst brother ever. Like, even if you go to her after and like, but did you sleep with that guy? Like, to Steve, toe the family line. Like,
yeah,
don't
seriously.
Do that. Anyway, Brenda then shows up to Andrea's just in time to have missed Kelly telling Andrea the rumor about Brenda fucking Roy for the part. So shit's real awkward. No one can look at her. She obviously notices and asks what the deal is. And they have this exchange in clip 15.
Look, Brenda, don't take this the wrong way, but there's a rumor going around about you that I think you should know about.
What rumor?
Well, some people are saying that you slept with Roy Randolph to get the part.
That's ridiculous. Who said that?
I don't know. Just some people.
Kelly, who said it?
I guess I heard it from Steve.
Yeah, well, that figures. What else are Steve and Laura saying about me?
It doesn't matter. None of us believe it.
It's just gossip. It doesn't mean anything.
The hell it doesn't.
Jeez, I'm sorry I told you.
You know what, Kelly? Steve is right. I did sleep with Roy Randolph. You want to know why? Because I have no talent.
Oh, Brenda, don't set us up like that.
Yeah, really.
But also, like, it's just gossip, it doesn't matter, is a ridiculous thing to say. Like, okay, no one should trade in gossip, but to say it doesn't matter is stupid. Only children think that, even they know
and
better.
And don't do the whole, like, there's something that we think you should know that people are saying about you, and then act like it's no big deal, otherwise you wouldn't have brought it up.
Right. And don't take this the
Meanwhile,
wrong way.
Meanwhile, during this whole exchange, Andrea is holding some giant container of food because that's Andrea's entire job on the show right now because she is now 817 months pregnant. And she is trying to get her whole head into it to hide. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Free Carteris. Anyway.
So Brenda storms off. Honestly, who can blame her? At campus, Dylan finds Brenda and tries to cheer her up. He tells her that he knows she didn't sleep with Roy Randolph, and she calls Dylan the only true friend she has. Oh, God, good luck. And then...
Yeah, Jesus. Please Brenda, move to London. Save yourself.
Brenda's rolling into rehearsal as everyone else is filing out. No, and one of the queens in the cast cannot with her ass in 16.
Tom, are we moving to rehearsal room?
Duh. Rehearsal's over.
Oh my God.
Duh. Oh,
in my notes.
2016.
I have.
Rehearsal's over.
Duh. Okay, calm down, Tom. Actually,
those
don't.
Those shoes
I love
are
you,
mine,
Tom.
Bitch. Oh my God.
Tom, keep it up. Become a regular cast member. We love you.
Yes, indeed.
Brenda asks Eddie if she can talk to Roy, but he advises her not to after flaking on the first day of blocking. She tells him about the call she got, but Eddie says the only calls about the schedule are made by Eddie himself. Brenda protests her innocence and begs for the chance to explain and insists it's not her fault. And as Laura walks out with a smirk, Brenda basically figures out what happened. Eddie promises to smooth things over. Outside, Steve is waiting for Laura. She's in a great mood after getting to do Maggie the whole rehearsal, and her happiness ends very quickly in clip 17.
Roy loved my ideas.
Really? What happened to Brenda?
Brenda wasn't there. Somebody called her and told her that rehearsal was 3 hours later. Any idea who that might have been, Laura?
I don't know what you're talking about. I can understand that you're upset, but don't take it out on me.
You're right. I guess I should start with my friend Steve here.
Let's go.
What, you gotta go and spread more rumors about me? What's next, Steve, that I slept with Eddie too?
I never said anything that wasn't true.
I always knew that you were weak.
Brenda, let's get one thing straight. I'm your brother's friend, not yours.
And that's a relief.
Well, now that you have the part, choke on it, okay?
One more thing, Laura. I may have missed rehearsal, but I am still Maggie. And you still have nothing. Except for Steve. Which is kind of the same thing, I guess, now, isn't it?
I thought we were calling her Margaret until you got to know her better, you ass. Oh, my God.
It's been a whole day, Tara.
Yeah. Ugh. She's such a bitch. Yet I love it. Yet I hate it.
Yeah. And Steve, I just love that Steve, like, just puts a period on what is basically, like, the whole meta problem with the season, which is, like, that they're really all, like, they shouldn't be friends anymore.
Yeah, yes.
Any of them. And then he's finally, like, you were just a drama queen I had to put up with so that Brandon could bail me out of shit for the last 4 years. Like, okay.
Yeah. And her, like, I always knew you were weak. Like, okay, he is. But you think that in your head. You don't say it out loud to someone's face. Anyway.
I don't know. In that situation?
I guess.
Yeah, I'd go there. Why not? He started it.
That's true. And especially since he tried to defend himself by saying he didn't say anything that wasn't true. Like, no, you made some reasonable conjectures, but you didn't know anything was true. So anyway.
Yeah.
So Steve apparently ranted about Brenda's guilty accusations from the auditorium all the way to Laura's dorm room because it's still happening when we see them there. Laura points out that Brenda didn't deny it. And as she tries to massage the tension out of his shoulder, she starts cooing crazy into his ear in clip 18.
You know, Randolph said my performance was perfect today. He never said that about Brenda.
Oh, remember that bonehead will finally realize he made a mistake.
He will, if I could get more time with him.
I wouldn't count on Brenda missing any more rehearsals if I were you.
I don't suppose you could kidnap her and lock her in a closet.
That's tempting.
How about some little injury like a broken finger or a toe?
How about a finger and a toe? And why stop there? She's got a jaw I'd like to plant one on, too.
Whatever it takes to make her miss a few rehearsals. Of course, you'll have to make it look like an accident.
Laura? You aren't serious, are you?
She didn't play fair. Why should we?
Uh-oh!
Zoom in on the crazy eyes. I mean, This is actually a really good performance by Tracy Bindorf, given how it's written, which is, you know, with all the finesse of a 4x4. So, yeah.
Yep. And she's right. You know, it isn't really fair of Brenda to be like, I'm having my callback at your house. But, you know, breaking a finger or toe or jaw is kind of over the line. Maybe. Anyway, Brenda's getting ready for school. Brenda's getting ready for school when Brandon comes by to offer her a ride and then tell her that he heard the rumor. She's pissed that neither Donna nor Kelly has called her since their fight at Andrea's. And she also says that she's only slept with two guys in her life, Dylan and Stuart, so she doesn't know why they believed that she could be capable of this. Maybe ask your bro about that because he thinks that too. Also, he is an idiot and a terrible person in clip 19.
Well, Bren, I'm not saying they're right, but you got to admit, it could look a little peculiar to people.
Tell me the truth, Brandon. Do you think I slept with him?
Listen, Brent, after my affair with Lucinda Nicholson, I've got no business judging what anyone does with their personal life.
You know better than Kelly.
Hey, don't overreact here.
What?
All I'm saying is it doesn't matter to me whether you slept with him or not. You're still my sister.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, thanks for your support.
You dick! She just said she didn't, so why are you still having this conversation? Oh, right, because you're horrible.
Well, and because, I mean, he's basically acting like she would never tell him the truth, which is appropriate, because she probably wouldn't, because she knows she would get this kind of censure from him, because he's a judgy fucking asshole, hypocrite, sexist fucker, is A.
Yeah.
And B, I don't know, like, if I were in a similar situation with my, whatever, non-twin sibling, it would just be like, all right, I'm on your side no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then I'd be breaking his balls for going over there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't, like, didn't you think how that would look? And he'd be like, yeah. I mean, this is just one of many examples of TV writers apparently all being only children because they just don't know how siblings talk to each other. Like, I get that they're exposition things, but this is not what it's like. Well, unless your sibling is a cock. So. Wouldn't really know about that. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I'm with you, obviously. Then the phone rings. It's Steve. Brenda is instantly furious that Brandon is even talking to him, but whatever it is sounds urgent, and Brandon takes off to meet Steve without saying anything to Brenda about any of it. And at the good old student union, Steve has assembled the brain trust of Brandon, Kelly, and Donna. Kelly is not interested in more rumors, and Donna feels awful that she believed the one that she already heard. Brandon's now convinced that Brenda's rage that she didn't actually fuck Roy Randolph, but Steve is now also certain that he was wrong because Laura has started acting cuckoo, as he puts it, and he knows that she was responsible for the misleading phone call, but that's not all. Clip 20.
Oh, it gets worse. Now she's trying to pull a Tanya Harding. She wants me to put Brenda out of commission.
She had to have been kidding, Steve.
You know, that's what I thought at first, too, but she's dead serious, and so am I, so I walked, but not before I told her I would do it.
What?
If I didn't, I mean, who knows what this girl would do to Brenda herself? We're dealing with someone whose driveway doesn't go all the way to the street here.
Yeah, I think she needs to get some professional help.
Yeah, she does. But I feel so badly about the way I treated Brenda.
Yeah, we all do.
Brandon does not chime in. Brandon's like, yeah, I'm all set. I'm all right.
I didn't do anything wrong. I just said I couldn't possibly judge her. The most judgmental.
Hey, I fuck Lucinda. Let's make it about me.
Seriously. Yeah. Cut to the glorious Roy Randolph in his yard drinking tea and trying to tan his pasty chest. One of my very favorite visual aids ever. He's quite delightful. Brenda rolls up.
And he really is.
He's embarrassed that she caught him trying to tan. And he's very friendly because Eddie explained the situation to him. Brenda thanks him for casting her, and he says that she was the best actress for the part, clearly untrue, but adds that even he has heard the rumors about their supposed quid pro quo arrangement, and he's upset about it also, as he says in clip 21.
When I accepted this job, they practically made me put it in writing that I keep my hands off the co-eds.
But you also didn't have to sign something, because maybe you should have.
Didn't say anything about penises.
That's true.
Like an acting challenge.
Yeah, well, yeah, as long as he walks around with his hands behind his back and he just sort of swings it around and smacks people with it. And then he points to the contract and goes, huh?
Using his penis.
Yeah.
Of course.
Look right there, people.
The eye has it.
Boy. Brenda just...
It's really hot in here. I am sorry.
We're almost done. Brenda doesn't want Roy to get in trouble for nothing, but he's more worried about her. If she plans on a career, he says she should develop a thick skin now. She said she's working on it. She's not. And he promises no more backstage intrigue on this production because he's cleaning house, and Brenda's smug smile at this is very unbecoming. I know that she has reason to feel this way, but still, she should have a little more grace. And at the next rehearsal, Laura is maggieing around with Brick when Roy comes in to shut it down in clip 22.
Okay, Laura, that's quite enough.
I was just running some lines.
I know what you were doing. And normally we'd be having this conversation in private. But since you have no regard for my privacy or Brenda Walsh's, I don't see where I owe you that respect.
I don't understand. I don't
know what you're talking about.
Please, you are not that good an actress. I'm sorry, but you're no longer part of this production. So I'd appreciate it if you gathered up all your things and left at once.
She takes forever to go over to her chair where her purse is. Picks up her book. So dropping it at Brenda's feet.
Get off my stage.
You bitch. She really makes a meal of this exit, I have to say. I love Tracy Middendorf for this role forever.
Yeah, me too. And like she's also wearing like the production designer did a really good job. Like wardrobe did a great job. She's wearing sort of like, it's a floral dress, but sort of mumsy. And then these like, what is it? Spool heeled shoes. Mm-hmm. Like they're just a little bit sort of steampunk and dowdy and totally actressy, just like her, like having the masks.
Yeah.
On her dorm.
Yeah.
Is perfect. I wouldn't be surprised if that was like a Middendorf note. Mm. That doesn't seem like something this production would have known to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unfortunate that I was still calling her Crazy Laura, even in our coverage of Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
But I mean, first of all, she's another one with Kathleen Robertson who's barely aged a day.
Oh, no kidding.
And
yeah.
Second of all, it is said with such admiration. We love you, Crazy Laura.
So much. There's also a gif in the visual aids of her smacking down the book at Brenda's feet, which is like the most threatening thing anyone has ever done with a paperback ever. Steve, who has crept into the auditorium during this exchange, chases after her. And outside, she screams at him that Brenda shouldn't have been at rehearsal and asks why he didn't help her. She's furious that now Steve believes that Brenda didn't sleep with Roy, and he quietly tries to suggest that she speak to a professional. That train has sailed, but she's not trying to hear it, saying that kids from Beverly Hills are all the same. She does this thing where she flicks her nose like to show that they're all snobby, and I made a gif of that too because I just love that detail. Brenda walks down to the student union to meet Kelly and Donna, and they tell her about the physical threats that Laura made. Brenda's unconcerned and she can't hire a bodyguard and doesn't seem very reassured that Steve is going to intervene. I kind of get. Donna and Kelly both say they feel awful and they have this exchange in clip 23.
What exactly is it that you feel awful about? That you guys talked about me behind my back? Or that you didn't even bother to ask me whether any of it was true? Or yesterday when I completely lost it at Andrea's, no one cared enough to see if I was okay? I guess in some way, all of the above.
And in some way, none of the above.
I call you. I just didn't know what to say. I mean, I was embarrassed, but I guess at the same time, I was a little put off because you immediately assumed we were ganging up on you.
Yeah, when all we were trying to do was just let you know what was going on.
Maybe I did overreact. But I was just completely blown away by the whole thing. You know, it's like everyone was turning me into the cliche of the desperate woman who, in order to get ahead, needs to sleep with every guy who can do her some good. Tell me about it. I guess the truth of the matter is I didn't exactly give you guys a chance to explain yourselves.
What do you say we just forget this ever happened?
I don't know if I can forget about it. But at least I know who my friends are.
That could be taken until either way.
Until the next blow up that's exactly like this in the next episode and the one after that. Like, how many fucking times do you people have to make up with each other? Mm-hmm. Just transfer.
Two more times and then that's it.
Yes. Yay! Also, exactly is amazing.
I know. That's why I wrote it in the notes for those who can't actually see it. Oh, mushmouth. Brandon calls Steve and tells him that no matter how crazy Laura's been acting, he can't abandon her. And because Steve always eventually does what Brandon tells him, he goes by Laura's room to check in on her. Getting no answer when he knocks, he lets himself in and sees a "to whom it may concern" note on her pillow. I made a gif of him reading it because he really acts reading so hard. And apparently the contents are disturbing because then he's racing to the theater when he physically runs into Brenda and tells her that he just read a note from Laura about her final performance, which he takes to mean she's going to go kill herself. And so together, Brenda and Steve run to the auditorium. We get a view from the rafters, so we know that's where Laura is watching them. And a copy of the play falls to the ground. They see her up there in her white trench coat and Samantha's old costume, totally off the rails in our final clip.
There's nothing you or anyone else can do. This is my stage now.
Laura, don't do anything you're going to be sorry for. Come on, please, come down.
No. You don't care about me. You never did.
I do care about you.
Go away. At least let me do one thing right.
Steve, call security.
Go ahead, both of you. By the time they get here, my performance will be over.
Stay here. I'll be right back.
Hurry.
Keep her talking.
You want to watch? Go ahead. I'm not afraid of an audience.
Look, Laura, maybe I can talk to Randolph, you know? Convince him to take you back.
Why would you want to do that? I know how much you hate me.
No, I don't hate you. In fact, I never really felt right about only one person doing the part. But look, maybe I can arrange it so you can do a few shows too.
Thanks. Then everybody could compare us. And guess what they would say? The understudy's never as good as the star.
Oh boy. This goes on for a while. She's in the process of...
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to point out the jazzercise chase scene music cue that is weirdly under this.
Yes. Yes.
Why?
I do not know. The crazy faces that Tracy Middendorf makes in this scene are enchanting. They're extremely committed. I made an 8-pack of them for the segment of the scene where she doesn't have a noose on her around her neck. And then there's an additional 4-pack because once she does have the noose on, she's also makes herself go cross-eyed. It's unbelievable what she does. I'm not even joking. Please go
she
to the visual
aids.
They're amazing. So
Tara
this
is also a hero for the construction of these visual aids, but yes. Middendorf 2016, I repeat.
It's my joy. This goes on for a while with Brenda trying her best to blow smoke up Laura's ass until Steve sneaks up to the rafters, and just as she's about to step off and hang herself, he grabs her. And afterwards, Steve and Brenda are shell-shocked as Laura is led into an ambulance. I'm pretty sure we never saw her again. Steve asks if Brenda can stop being angry at him, but she's not there yet. He does a gorgeous smell-the-fart gif at trying to realize, imagine how she feels about him right now. And Brenda makes it to the car and weeps. Emotions! And that's it. Let us wrap it up with our MVP. Tom. Duh.
Laura.
Yeah, good choice. Least valuable player. I gotta say Steve, who spread this rumor really for no other reason than his current side piece of like 2 weeks, not even duration, made him turn on someone that he's known since high school, which is not really okay.
Yeah, especially when she has a track record of perhaps not being the most reliable witness to reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I will go with Brandon. Be a human to your sibling.
Yeah.
Even her.
Yes. Speaking of Brandon and his sucking, let's do the Moo Moo Park Challenge. 5 ways from this episode Brandon could have ended up dead. You know that there's got to be scissors somewhere in that bathroom where Brenda was getting ready for school and she could have and should have stabbed him with them.
Yeah, I was going to say eyeliner or eye pencil for that, but accidentally like was crossing the stage to be unsupportive to Brenda some more and Laura landed on him.
Crushed by the latest report out of the task force that the chancellor tried to make him do a précis on after, even though it was 700 pages long.
Bioremediated by one of Kevin's mystery science bacteria.
I mean, he didn't get onto the plane, but if he had, there's no question that Claire would have tried to join the Mile High Club with him in the bathroom, and he could have fallen, gotten stuck into the toilet, and died that way. And that makes 5.
that's
why should I take
yet.
The back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our third last excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. Yet another letter from a reader. I personally do not care for BH90210 or Shannon Doherty. I am interested in receiving your newsletter and joining your club. I especially dislike Tori Spelling for this simple reason. Get ready, Dave. I love Jeremy Jordan.
Jeremy Jordan, all right.
Turn it up.
And Tori took him lightly and disregarded his feelings to stick with a nose-picking drunk like Nick Savalas. I don't know what, I assume there's a backstory on nose picking, unless that's just a mean insult.
I believe he was a known booger flicker.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
She isn't worthy of Jeremy's love, and therefore I dislike Tori Spelling, and maybe someday I'll start an I Hate Donna club. Love, CR in Chicago, Illinois. P.S. My sister Mercedes also supports you guys. We have a Shannon Doherty doll hanging from a string on our closet door. We paid $10, but it was worth it to see the bitch hanging there. It makes up the money value every time I see it. End of excerpt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's a sibling relationship. Next time, Mr. Walsh goes to Washington. Little Silver gets it wet at last. Mr. and Mrs. Khan tie the knot. And La Doherty is wrapped in the two-part fourth season finale. Oh, and probably something about Andrea's quote-unquote baby walking out under its own power and ordering an Uber and a dry vodka mart. You'll want to do the same when you peep our visual aids for this and all the other Get Into This episodes. That's at our website at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. Valedictorian and co-host Tara Ariano is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, will always sign your yearbook at Blark on Instagram. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoonie.
Tom, are we moving to a rehearsal room?
Duh. Rehearsal's over.
Tom!
This has been a production of the Previously.tv
podcast network. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.